closed meeting. Speak with each other respectfully using comfortable volumes. Focus on facts, issues, and proposals. No name calling or personal insults. Use attribution of sources and documentation when making statements or assumptions about other people or groups. Listen to each other with care. Honor the agenda and timeline, including staying on topic, following group procedures, and respecting the direction of the chair, facilitators, timekeepers, and people taking stack during meetings. Raise hands to be recognized by the facilitator. Honor individual time allocations per share and finish up when agreed upon time is over. Each person's time may be used for comments or questions, with questions included in the time. Honor board confidentiality. KPFA local station board members are required to keep all job performance information related to KPFA management, paid and unpaid staff and volunteers, confidential, to be shared only within closed LSB sessions during those meetings. If a situation arises when a participant is not willing to honor the above agreements after the agreements are brought to their attention, that person may be asked to leave the meeting or be removed from the meeting. And we've already done a roll call and the distribution of the ballots has gone out. So we will move on to the approving of the agenda. Do I have a motion to approve the agenda?
So moved.
Do I have a second?
Point of information?
Second.
Point of order.
Thank you.
Point of order.
Point of information.
Go ahead.
I just want to ask, it wasn't quite clear. I assume there's no executive session in this based on what I my reading of the agenda. Is that correct?
I don't believe there will be unless it becomes necessary for some reason.
Okay. So there's nothing on the agenda right now with an executive session. That's what I just wanted to make.
That's correct.
And then the second question was, is there, the motions that were sent out this week, where are they on my agenda?
Please mute yourself, anybody, because I'm that here cross talk here. Go ahead, James.
Thanks. There were motions that were made during the week here, and I just wanted to know where on the agenda, you know, motions other than the ones that were about the cab and where they are in this agenda?
That would be under new business.
Okay.
I wanted to make it. Can I be recognized?
Elizabeth? Yes.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Unfortunately, I believe it was pretty quickly this, but what I wanted to say was the issue of the cabs, if we can move the resolutions for the cab, the resolution for the cab to the discussion of the cab. In other words, I believe the cab discussion is going to be at the beginning. Is that correct? Under eight? Is that my understanding?
Well, we'll have the general manager's report before that, but that will be under eight and we will have a lot of discussion. You'll have an opportunity to understand it then.
So my question is, will we be allowed to vote in the members of the people who have so far been sent in their nominations at this time? And because that is part of the issue of getting a full cab recognized now.
That will be on the ballot. We will be voting.
Ballots today. Have been sent.
Okay.
They've already been sent out.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay. So
Croswell's got his hand up.
Brian? Did you have a question?
Madam Chair, can I be recognized for one minute, please? I just want to say that I think I'm the youngest person on this board, but I'm also on the Senior Commission for the City of San Leandro, so I know a lot about doing these type of meetings. And what I'd like to say is I would like all the members to read the emails before the meeting and read the draft agendas and participate and actually do the groundwork. So by the time we get to these meetings, there's not all these ancillary questions that if folks were reading the agenda and actually following kind of our methods, we wouldn't be having all these interruptions. Our time is very precious, and it really feels like not productive for KPFA if we're not following our procedures, our bylaws, etc. So I'm just putting this out here that folks need to start doing their homework before the meetings. Thank you. Check.
Thank you. I appreciate that, Brian. Okay, so moving forward, we have a motion to approve the agenda is on the floor right now. It's been seconded. So I guess I would ask anybody who is opposed to approving the agenda, would you please raise your hand? And Kai, would you help me here? Just make sure I don't miss anybody.
I see no hands up.
I see no hands either.
Yep, neither do I.
So the motion to approve the agenda is approved. We will move on to the general manager's report. So I want to introduce Quincy McCoy, our general manager. And prior to that, I guess Aditha is saying she hasn't received her ballot yet. Sorry. Going ahead, I just wanted to say in introducing our general manager, there were a series of emails sent out that contained false statements that were attributed to KPFA management. And after we investigated, we found them to be patently false. So just to clarify, KPFA management has always been very supportive of the CAB and respected the role that they play. And our LSB officers are 100% in support of reconstituting the CAB, which we will be voting on today. And with that, I want to introduce Quincy McCoy, our general manager for KPFA.
Good morning, everybody. It was a very busy winter, so there's a pretty lengthy report here, so I'm going to just jump right into it. State of the station. I will be meeting with our health and safety committee in 3 days to renew our discussions on the lower risk options to slowly reopen the station. Our discussion will entail ways that we can manage guests, monitor vaccination status, maintain masking indoors, continue our if sick stay home policy, and other challenges and realities of moving from one pandemic phase to another. In addition, we will begin the process of sending out another staff survey to gauge everyone's comfort level about reentering the building. It's clear this virus will remain with us for some time, if not forever. Experts fear that COVID-19 cases in the United States will rise in the next few weeks as the new variant continues to spread. Dr. Fauci said, given the growing prevalence of BA.2, he expects cases will increase within the next month. We can't predict how much it will continue to impact our well-being and station operations, yet we will do what works to minimize, and we'll continue to use those tools as our next phase of safety protocols evolves. Our health and safety restrictions are strict and for good reason. As steward, my overriding responsibility is protecting the health and welfare of the staff. Our station's essential workers are primarily a technical staff, a very talented bunch of folks who do very specific jobs. God forbid if two or three of these people were ill at the same time. We simply don't have a deep enough bench of well-skilled folks to cover them. It's been my recurring nightmare for the last 3 years. As spacious as our station may seem to some, it's not big enough to keep this virus from derailing our broadcast schedule. On the other hand, we have experimented a bit with allowing a few late night and weekend programmers to enter. This works because the station is virtually empty except for them. Of course, vaccinations must be up to date and no guests or visitors are allowed. For the Grateful Dead Marathon, we did a trial run allowing Tim Lynch and David Gans to have a band in the performance studio. They had to verify the band's vaccination status and enforce mask wearing and social distancing when the players were not performing. Make no mistake, we will continue being very cautious and sticking to what's working. I'd like to take a moment to thank Tim Lynch and David Gans for this year's dedication and the passion that they have over the years of supporting KPFA. This year's Grateful Dead Marathon raised $50,000 in our winter fund drive. It's important to point out, too, that 93% of the donations came from online. More on the drive in a minute. While we're on the topic of specials, a round of applause for the producers of the following broadcast. The Black History Month day-long event aired February 21st and featured African-American voices, stories, music, and culture. Special thanks to executive producer Janine Etter and assistant producer Prima Jackson for coordinating the broadcast and its content creators. International Women's Day special broadcast was Sunday, March 13th. The day featured content from 27 producers about a diverse set of topics that celebrated the stories of women and shed light on issues affecting them. Special thanks to executive producer Margot Azuwaku, sorry if I really messed that up, for coordinating the broadcast and providing support to the rest of the IWD team. The Russian invasion coverage. This is far from a simple issue. There is a historic split, as we know, among the left about Russia and U.S. relations that go back to Stalin and Trotsky. And historically, we have aired a wide range of those perspectives. True to our legacy, now since the invasion, we've aired a diverse array of perspectives. For example, the diversity of opinions range from Russia had no choice but to invade because of NATO's expansion. Russia was provoked by the USA. We should be against imperialism by the U.S. or Russia. Putin is the aggressor. Putin conducting an unjust war largely on civilians. Of course, Democracy Now! Has had expansive coverage. The Sunday show's phone lines have been buzzing with the opinions of our listeners. Up front during the first 2 weeks included live interviews with journalists in Odessa, a nursing mother sheltering from bomb strikes in Kyiv, a climate scientist also in Kyiv, and a refugee who just crossed the border into Poland. On other public affairs shows, they have engaged in many points of view from experts on Russian and Ukrainian history, on financial sanctions and nuclear safety. Letters in Politics interviewed Medea Benjamin, anti-war activist from Code Pink, and Bill Weinberg described the dissident left point of view. Bill was a 20-year producer at WBAI in New York. Dr. Gerald Horn, professor of history and African American studies in Houston, addressed the issues of international racism in the war. On Flashpoints, Greg Pallas investigated the Koch industry's involvement in the bloody war against Ukraine and asked the question, well, what did Bill Clinton have to do with Putin's rise to power? So we've been all over it. Coming up is a national broadcast. KPFA will broadcast the Supreme Court nomination hearings of Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson, the first African-American woman to be nominated to the Supreme Court, Tuesday, March 22nd from 6 a.m. to 4 p.m. and Wednesday, March 23rd from 6 until 4 p.m. Ms. Judgeworth will host. Deanna Martinez and Chris Lee will be the producers. This would be a Pacifica national broadcast carried on all stations and many affiliates. Diversity, equity, and inclusion training. Beginning April 1st, KPFA will offer staff DEI training. After extensive research, we settled on Paradigm Online Training Program. Why Paradigm? Their DEI solutions have helped over 1,000 companies around the world build stronger, more inclusive organizations. Their company's president, Evelyn Carter, an African-American woman who is a highly sought-after thought leader. Paradigm offers a comprehensive suite of technology products and expert consulting services that will help us design and deliver an impactful DEI strategy for KPFA. The advantage to online training is that every participant could take the course at the times that work best for their schedules. Even though this will not replace the benefits of in-person training, we see this as a good first step to relay the basics of DEI, bring staff to the same understanding of basic terms used in DEI training, and to get the conversation going with people who generally can't attend training due to their other life commitments. Paradigm is in Palo Alto, and their training doesn't strain our budget. April 15th is KPFA's birthday. The cultural institution will turn 73 years young. This year, we're finally reinstating the KPFA Vigilance Awards we suspended because of the pandemic. Past winners were Alice Walker, Amy Goodman, Walter Turner, his friend Danny Glover, Bob Baldock, and Miguel Molina. This year, in addition to having a single day on-air fun drive, the annual birthday appeal letter has been created and will be mailed to 15,000 donors and supporters with a goal of raising around 25 grand. The appeal letter will announce the 7 recipients of 2022's Vigilance Awards. A crystal plaque will be given to this year's recipients. We expect another strong response from donors to this year's birthday appeal letter and Vigilance Awards. Events. With the retirement of KPFA's event producer, Bob Baldock, event production has been folded into the development department. There has been one author event thus far in 2022 with Bob Baldock himself for the publication of his novel, Wild Green Oranges. And it was the second most successful event in the last 2 years, raising more than $2,000 in ticket donations from the Zoom-only event. Upcoming events for the months of April and May include Alice Walker, Sasha Lapointe, Tony Messenger, Azar Nafisi, Sean Levy. And in the future, there will also be an in-person celebration, well, fingers crossed, of the life and work of singer Barbara Dane at Freight and Salvage. Next up is Fun Drive Recap. there's a graph that you'll be able to see, easy to read when you get the report. It kind of covers from the holiday drive, the winter drive, and then the mailer that went out last year. I'll just go over quickly. The holiday drive's goal was $300,000. During the drive, we raised $276,873, 92% of the goal. The post-holiday, we raised $102,938. The winter drive we just had was $450,000 was the goal. So far, we brought in $436,983, 97% of the goal. Just last week, we brought in an additional $7,625. The end of the year mailer, kind of proud of this one. The goal was like $20,000. But we played, it was amazing. We did $53,743. Way above expectations. Anyway, that was good. So, let me give you a little narrative on the drive. Our post-drive phase is still going on. The drive was successful, reaching 97% of the goal. In addition to outstanding show of donor support, there was specific areas of success that deserve to be recognized. As I mentioned earlier, the Dead Marathon raised 50 grand, an increase of over 2021's event. Two of the most successful premiums during the drive was a live recording of the Jerry Garcia Band and the 2022 Grateful Dead Marathon t-shirt. Also created was this new premium KPFA's Band Book Bundle, a newly designed cloth bag with a curated selection of five of the most challenged books in American history. Not only was this $300 premium very well received by our donors, it also strongly reinforced KPFA's commitment to our mission of supporting free exchange of information and speech. The Band Book Bag, without books, will continue to be available online. The development department database. In 2022, we began with strong administrative needs in the development department, reconciling all of 2021's donations, merging all recurring donor information from Allegiance database into our Station Admin database. The merge from Allegiance into Station Admin was a culmination of months of collaborative effort between the development department and engineering. It was a Herculean effort. It was successful. And the donor accuracy is excellent, allowing for the tax letters to be mailed out to donors in a timely manner. The 2021 tax letters were not only more accurate than the ones issued in previous years, but changes were also initiated in production methods that saved KPFA thousands of dollars. Many thanks are owed to our chief engineer, Brian David, for his phenomenal work in steering this project to completion. Now I'm going to go over to the operations department. It's an interns update report that I think you guys should hear. During the past 2 years of the pandemic, the ops department interns, graduates of the AMP program, have supported the station as fill-in board ops, news technical producers, special broadcast producers, assistant engineers, social media current content producers, on-air studio and main production and audio editor trainers and programmers. All of them performing two and sometimes three of these different roles. These interns are EA, Paula Birch, Jose Gonzalez, Kai Gustafson, Prima Jackson, Peter Sickney, and Miko Tolliver. I'm delighted to report that all their training was made possible by the Cabin Road Foundation grant we were awarded 5 years ago at $90,000 a year. It allowed us the ability to train interns and staff members in skills areas like multi-track editing, field production and recording, sound production, voice work, and long-form storytelling. Our long-form storytelling and storytelling for social change mentorship programs were both led by Lucy Kang. Lucy's KPFA's Excellence in Journalism and Public Affairs Award-winning journalist. Lucy authored the proposal that won us this amazing grant. We're in the last year of this grant. In late spring, we will offer how to pitch successfully during Fund Drive, a class for on-air hosts and producers. Also, we'll be doing another round of staff orientations and certifications. Antonio Ortiz, the director of operations, wants to ensure that everyone knows station protocols, standards, FCC rules, and regulations. Finally, in April, board op and tech producer training will begin again to continue to add to the operations department's incredible bench. Okay. Area 941. In my fourth quarter report, I mentioned our plan to refresh Area 941 in 2022. The new content will align with KPFA's existing brand, Storytelling for Social Change, narratives of impact that illustrate the power of our programming to create change. The hosts, their content, their community presence, their partners and collaborators will all align with KPFA's mission to create a media landscape that identifies, lifts, and amplifies voices that speak for communities that are shut out of the mass media institutions. Area 941 podcast project is in the middle phase. This project allows KPFA to use its inherent advantage, its abilities to gather attention and motivate action in the podcast space in a focused, cost-effective manner. Podcasting has never been richer, more meaningful part of the media ecosystem, but it has never been harder to discover new shows. Area 941 will address this problem for KPFA listeners. We have hand-selected a collection of established podcasts that are diverse both in who makes them and their topic areas. We will create a section on our site to highlight the podcast and then leverage our air and our digital media to drive traffic to the Area 941 collection. This allows KPFA to use the trust we've earned with our audience to create a new listener benefit and reinforce our position as a highly relevant, useful media entity in their lives. Area 941 will relaunch by late spring. Social media report. What is the purpose of social media? Mainly to improve brand awareness, distribution, and our revenue stream. To put KPFA more in touch with our listenership. Through social media, we are working to reframe our brand so people see us differently. So people's interest in KPFA is suddenly renewed. Because we're part of a fast-moving media world, our brand cannot remain stuck. It must build and reinforce itself day after day. KPFA is working to build our social media presence to broaden our reach globally. A simple way to imagine what the amplification of social media can do for us is to consider that we now have four additional broadcast signals: Twitter, YouTube, Instagram, Facebook. In the last 6 months, our social media team has been able to grow the station's social media community. For example, our numbers have increased at a rate of 100 new followers a month on Instagram. Okay, we're not shattering any records here. Yet, it's a steady process we know we can improve upon, a process that gives us a new vitality and a wider reach to younger adults. For most creators, their problem is creating content. We don't have that problem. KPFA is a content creating machine. This new world forces us to rethink the content we produce and how we distribute it. Our biggest challenge is schooling our hosts and producers to utilize our platforms as a resource. We need everyone to post and share our content and encourage our listeners to spread our messaging. This is what a grassroots campaign looks like in today's media landscape. And remember, social media has cultural, political, and financial power. The very playground we need to operate in to give agency to our mission for social change. Facilities. I asked Chief Engineer Brian David to give us an overview of ongoing projects currently being worked on. The engineering department's upgrade to the performance studio infrastructure has been completed. A digital music console and furniture have been installed. The performance space itself no longer is obstructed with Pacifica's files and furniture, and we baptized it with a band performing during the Grateful Dead marathon. There is some cosmetic cleanup work left to finish in the control rooms, flooring, carpeting, patching, painting. The flooding situation has not been fully resolved and still presents a major risk to equipment. Currently, a sump pump and manual labor is used to triage. We're thinking about a capital campaign to raise the needed funds for a permanent fix. The door access system has been replaced. Entry now is with official KPFA cards, which you hold over the new entry screens. We've been beta testing this new system with our essential workers for a couple of weeks now, and all is good so far. We can eliminate $11,000 a year cost with NPR by directly receiving Democracy Now! Via a one-time purchase of some hardware. We're working on raising the funds to facilitate that cost-saving move. The transmitter. The main and primary KPFA transmitters atop Grizzly Peak are in good working order and with regular attention, they will continue to serve KPFA for the foreseeable future. We recently purchased some replacement power modules and fans to support the mechanical operation. Personnel Steve Haas, wonderful man, has done a remarkable job maintaining the site and creating a stable environment. The staff responsible for transmitter operations are at retirement age, and backup personnel are now being trained, happy to say. Software to development. The main software project KPFA is currently developing, Station Admin. The project has been the product of 4 years of on and off development. KPFA has invested several thousands of dollars into the front end development. Our website, it's stable, albeit with an aging theme. We've put it through its paces lately and she's hung in there. Yet it's time to do an audit review and some future proofing for any necessary changes to keep the website up to date. And our archives, the archives are stable and redundant at both studios and our data center. Community Advisory Board. The Pacific Executive Director, Stephanie Wells, has asked all general managers to assist local station boards with starting up CABs in her pursuit of eligibility for Pacifica to regain CPB funding in the future. I understand you folks will be addressing this issue in your meeting today, and I would like to ask you to consider the need for ensuring age diversity on the CAB. There are over 200,000 college students within our signal reach. I urge you to appoint students to KPFA's CAB to support our current efforts to connect with young adults. Also, top of mind should be people of color to meet the CAB's requirements for racial inclusion. I will be out of the office for 3 weeks in May. My son is having major jaw surgery in Los Angeles. After the surgery, he will be unable to speak or eat solid food for at least 3 weeks and will be unable to travel except to post-op doctor appointments. I'll be working from LA as much as possible, but basically I'll be on duty administering pain meds and working blenders to feed and comfort him. End of my report. Thank you.
Thank you, Quincy. And we hope that our best and our love to your son and for a good healing. So do we have any questions for Quincy from our board members? Elizabeth Milos?
Yeah, I would like to thank you for your report, General Manager. I wanted to say that I'm happy to hear that you are also in agreement with setting up the CABs and are in full support of the CAB, such that the PNB passed a motion affirming PNB support for executive director's efforts to obtain CPP funding, stating that the ED shall direct all station general managers to assist their local station boards in standing up CPB qualifying community advisory boards and report back to the ED and the PNB in 1 week on the status of their station's CAB or lack thereof and submit a report to the ED and the PNB on said status and remedial plans where necessary. So I'm wondering if you have any information regarding that report. I believe that 1 week was, I'm not sure if 1 week has already passed since this motion was passed. So I'm wondering if you have any information regarding that. And also if you have any information about the trends in listenership, actual listenership of our station.
No, I don't have any, nothing to report. That's up to Stephanie. I don't know what she's going to put out or how she's going to do it. I've had some conversations with her about CABs. I have a history dealing with this kind of stuff for a long time. Before Ronald Reagan, there was a system called ascertainment. Ascertainments were radio stations had to go out and talk to community members and leaders and agencies that worked in different things like the Red Cross or homelessness. And then you had to ascertain what issues were most important to your community. And then you brought that back to your public affairs director. Usually it was a public affairs director that handled that kind of work. And then the public affairs director would get with the news director and then they would, pass on that information. And they would also interview these people and put those things on the air. Ascertainments were very, very important years ago in keeping your FCC license going. Ronald Reagan came in and got rid of all of that. One of the first things he deregulated was the FCC and radio. He went after it, hot and heavy. And he cut out ascertainments. So there went all the public affairs directors that were at all these stations. And that whole thing and public service announcements that used to be on the radio everywhere all the time, were gone, because of that. Then in WGBH in Boston, started the first cab. And then CPP said, oh, wow, that's a good idea. So then that's how cabs got started in the first place. But it's a great thing. The only thing that I could do is tell you what I suggested to Stephanie, which I just suggested to you guys, is about having younger people on a cab. It's very important. The reason why cabs probably weren't meeting, obviously, is because of the pandemic, obviously. But the other thing about it is the most important thing is, when I was running this radio station in Washington, D.C., we had this great system of having different leaders, CEOs or EDs, executive directors from different organizations come and make presentations. And it was terrific. We used to bring them in. They would do a great presentation. We would all have lunch. We could ask questions of them. And then you could take that back and apply what you had to the radio station. Under the situation you have now, besides the internet, I mean, if you were to Google on the internet right now, mm-hmm. What are the top, problems in the Bay Area? You're going to see, housing is a big problem. You're going to see hunger. You're going to see homelessness. It's pretty good. So, there's a source that was never there before with the internet as to, what's the issue. The other thing that we have, or what I can do for you and I've done for Craig in the past, is we always write up our goals as to what we think that the radio station should be going after. And that's a lot of it's based on the feedback that we get from our listeners every day. We get asked to put on public service announcements. We get asked to put on certain kinds of programming. And so, we can start judging that a lot ourselves, as to what the need is or what we see the need is in our communities. So, that's basically what I'm going to do. As far as your second question was something about trends in radio.
No, I'm sorry. Trends in listenership. And also I wanted to say that although the cab was discontinued because of the COVID, the LSBs and the cabs and other Pacifica stations, as well as this LSB and the Pacifica National Board, have been conducting business via Zoom during all this time. So
excuse me, if you have a question for Quincy, that's one thing, but he doesn't run the cab.
Right, I understand. Correct. Meeting. Yeah. So the listeners.
Let me tell you about the trends then. Let me answer your second question. We do as much research as we possibly can. And plus we have the Nielsen reports, that we use, and, we're able to see what's really happening. There's a couple of things that are trending really well for KPFA. Our listenership, a lot of it comes through the website. So we found a few years ago. Thus we put more emphasis on the website, making it stronger, faster, and all of that, but also putting up information for people that could lure them there. As part of the social media thing that we're doing is we take our programming and we put it out there and it draws people's interest. It's amazing how many people out there don't know we still exist, of course, because we don't have the money to really market ourselves. And showcase ourselves as much as we would like to do. But, we know where the younger people live and it's online. We're trying to play to that, but also at the same time, we're not trying to blow off our basic, we used to call them in broadcast radio, P1 audience, which is our upper demographic from 35 to 64 and more. That's where we're strongest. And we know that. But at the same time, we know we need to build a younger audience. So we're not trying to deal with teenagers and those in their 20s so much, but we're really working hard with people 30 to 50 year olds is where we really want to live as far as growing a new audience. And I can say proudly that I think we've been chipping away at it pretty well, and we'll continue to do that.
Thank you, Quincy. Carol, you're next. Carol Wolfley.
Thank you. Quincy, I just wanted to thank you for such an extensive report today. And I know that some of the other cabs at the other stations haven't been actually posting or, going through the the meeting regulations. And I just really appreciate that you have kept our station safe and secure through this challenging time. So thank you. And
Thanks, Carol. I think we are.
And I think we're at 30 minutes on this item on the agenda.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm sorry for the long report.
Could I move to extend for five?
We've had a really long winter. It's been busy. It's been busy.
I have a motion to extend for five. Do I have a second?
Second.
And anyone opposed? Well, I've got three hands up already. So I guess anyone opposed? Raise your hands. To extend.
I'll lower the hands.
I don't see any.
I see no one raising their hand.
Okay.
Fred, will you time it?
Yes. For 5 minutes, that means it's 11:53. We'll have to stop at 11:58.
Thank you. And then I see next, it's appears to be Franklin and Chris and then James.
Actually, Franklin, James, and then Chris.
Okay. Thank you.
And, Fred, will you time them for then, 1 minute each?
Certainly.
Go ahead. That would be Franklin next. Is that right? Yeah, Franklin.
Hello. Okay. Hey, Quincy, thanks for holding it down out there at the mothership. It'd be good to, check it out and get back in there. One thing I wanted, just bring the attention to is just to, make sure that the apprenticeship program is also kept in the loop about getting back in and getting our hands on training when the, when that is a possibility and when you
no problems, right.
And I just want to make sure that they're also considered equally when the jobs and the openings come into place. Cause I know since the AMP program got in there, they're just kind of a little closer to the thing. So I want to make sure that we're also in that mix. And then I'm excited about the thing that you mentioned about the CAB, that it looks like everyone's going to want to pursue that ASAP. So I won't waste my time on that. And I'd be very interested in like the criteria for, you know, getting people on area 941, cause I'm connected to a lot of podcasts out there and I'd be interested in
15 having, seconds.
I'd be interested in having them, you know, inquire about how to get on to area 941. And there was something else, but I didn't get it down. So go for it.
Frank, there's a right on the website. You can go on the website, go into about, and there's a thing about Area 941. You click it, and it tells you, it lays out the entire approach on how to send in shows for Area 941. It's not hard. It's easy.
Thank you, James.
Yes. My question is it possible to have coverage of Frank Sterling's arrest and trial, since this reflects the general problem in police impunity in our culture? And in fact, it'd be good if this station had a statement of support of Frank. You think that's possible?
The statement of support? I don't know. We're not a political party. This is deliberation.
This is a time for asking questions, not for making proposals.
That was a question.
It was a question, but we don't engage in programming decisions. There's people, Frank has a program on KPFA. There are other people who have programs on KPFA. There's nothing stopping them from covering what's going on with Frank.
So our time is up. We need to move forward.
Thank you.
Who's I think Quincy can answer the question.
You
don't have to answer for him.
I would like for Quincy to answer.
Everybody's speaking up now.
Yeah, do not just speak up unless you're called on, and I've made a ruling right there. Chris is next, I think. Is that correct?
Correct.
Go ahead, Chris.
Okay. I just had a brief question. I wonder if there's any photographs published at the KPFA website of the studio improvements that have been made to the performance room. And if not, is that something that you plan to do? Because it might make a nice little piece of publicity.
Yeah, we did it already, Chris. We've done it a couple of times, actually.
We
ran a whole series. It really helped us during the winter drive.
I'll have a look. Online.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Okay. Great. Okay.
Donald Goldmacher's next.
Good morning, Quincy. Thanks for your wonderful report. And I did this very well in the surgery. I have two questions. actually one is a statement, having to do with COVID and what the station may or may not do. As a retired physician, I do want to caution that there's a new wave out there that's in this country already. Waves take time to manifest in terms of seeing increased hospitalizations and infection rates. But this variant is out there in other countries and is playing havoc. So,
We're paying Russian close attention to it. I mean, you know, this is my life.
Hold on. Yeah, 15 seconds left on.
This is my life. This is what I do. Yes, is check out every morning.
What I'm saying is, yeah, others are rushing to open the doors. Please don't do so.
No, I'm not going to. Like I said, in the
second
report.
Point is, you mentioned having money to do marketing. And
your time is up.
I'd like to just finish this question, if I may. Thank you, timekeeper.
Actually, we're going to move on, Donald. I think that we have to be strict on our time because we have a very full packed meeting today.
Then Darlene, you're up.
An additional minute.
We only have 5 minutes.
Yeah, we're over. Actually, we're currently over our time limit, and Darlene hasn't spoken.
Okay, you have a really quick thing, Darlene, because we're already over our time. We really need to move on.
Yeah, please. Quincy, I love On the Deck, and I like that it's a discrete segment that you could copy and forward. And I put it to the LSB open list, but I would hope that all LSB members forward that piece that is on the KPFA website, a monthly programming and behind the scenes piece. And Quincy, is that something that can be actually a link emailed to the listenership for all the emails that we have?
Yeah, we can do that.
Left, Darlene.
That's one of the things we're planning on doing, Darlene. You're really smart. You're so smart. You're on top of it.
Okay, enough, Quincy. Enough.
Thank you, Darlene. Thank you. Thank you very much for your report, Quincy. It was very extensive and very complete, and we appreciate you being our general manager.
Thank you. See you guys. Take care.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. So we're going to move on and move into the approval of the January and February minutes. Do I have a motion to approve the minutes?
I'm so moved. Sherrigan moves to approve both minutes.
Thank you. Do I have a second?
Second.
Thank you. And I will ask for anybody that is in opposition to approving the minutes, please raise your hand.
Darlene, can you please put your hand down?
Thank you. Again, anyone opposed to approval of those minutes, raise your hand, please.
I see Elizabeth Milos is the only disapproving.
Okay. This is not the time to speak. If you disapprove, you can vote. Okay, so one person is not in approval, but the motion carries. So we're going to move on to the delegate assembly. We're going to leave the member session and move into delegate assembly now for the vote. Carol?
Okay. So the delegate assembly, has everyone received a ballot? Their ballots. If you have not received your ballot, please raise your hand. Your ballot for Community Advisory Board and your ballot for the P&B committees. Fred, can you check?
Looking right now and I see no one raising their hand, but to be honest with you, I haven't checked my P&B yet, so I'm going to do that now.
Okay.
Yeah, I haven't received my ballot, so.
Andrea, it may be in spam. Mine came in spam. Kai, can you please send Andrea Turner?
Andrea voted by email or by phone already, right, Andrea?
No, I don't think Andrea, did you vote by phone?
For the PNB?
Yes.
Yes.
And
thank
for the
you.
Cab?
No, I haven't voted for the cab yet.
And
I'll call it in.
Okay. All right.
I have not received my I have not received my PNB ballot.
Okay, Kai, can you send, can you look in your spam, Fred?
Yeah, but I already received the other one, so I don't expect it.
Mine was my PNB one.
I will look in my spam.
Hey, Fred, I'm going to ask you to take over for a minute. I will be back momentarily.
Sure.
Thank you.
Oh, yes, there it is. My apologies. Not spam. Jesus Christ. Okay. We're back to asking if anybody hasn't received their PNB ballot. Please raise your hand. If you have not received your PNB ballot, please raise your hand. I see no hands up. So
Okay, looks like we're good. Okay, moving along. Are there any other nominations for any other PNB committees? First of all, let me see if there's any other nominations. Besides the ones that have already been made. Okay. Fred, do you see anything?
I don't. Let me look just more thoroughly just to see. I see no hands up.
My hand's up. I'm sorry. It's hard to see.
Oh, you know what? It'd be great if you could change your background because we keep missing your hand, Franklin.
All right. Yeah. I'll try to find it. It's from my last meeting I had with the city of Antioch. I'm working.
Yeah. This is why I use a black background.
All right. Let me find it.
Franklin's hand is up.
Okay. Frank, did you want to nominate someone else?
I think right now I want to can self-nominate, right? Don't I want to nominate myself for the programming committee because I've been on it and I want to continue. And then I had a question as well. Do we get to like ask or have a little speech or something, 30-second speech or something to hear from people, you know, who they are and why they want to do it and all that?
I second.
What we're going to do right now is to.
I didn't actually hear a motion. I'm sorry. I heard Franklin ask if we can, but I did not hear a motion. And Philip's hand is up. Milo's, Elizabeth's hand's up. So Franklin, are you making a motion? And is this the proper place to make a motion?
I'm asking that I thought in the past that we always gave a little speech about the people that wanted to do it and why they were doing it. And then that way everybody got to hear from everybody. I thought that was the normal process. I'm not trying to make a motion. And if that's not the normal process, yeah, I'd like everybody to speak who's, you know, running for the committees.
So what I would like to do right now is go step by step because this is a complicated process. I do hear your request, both of them. So,
oh yeah, okay. That's why I was just asking for clarification.
I was just asking, first of all, if there were any additional nominations.
Okay, I see Philip's hand up. I see Elizabeth's hand up and I see James McFadden's hand up.
I'm going to go through this first before I take any questions.
Thank you.
Okay, so for the audit committee, everybody put your hands down, please. For the audit
committee,
everybody put your hands down, please, so we can proceed. Okay, are there any nominations, additional? There is one nomination for the audit committee right now, and that is Zach Caldvier. And are there any additional nominations for the audit committee?
I see no hands up.
Okay.
Wait.
Elizabeth has now put her hand up.
Yes. I am nominating myself for the audit committee.
Okay.
Are there any other hands up for the audit committee?
Okay. And well, we do have some write-ins now. So those people who are being added, there's a space on your ballot to write in the names of those persons. So for the audit committee, we have Zach Caldvier, who is on the ballot, and Elizabeth Milos, who has just self-nominated. Now, I'm going to move on to elections committee. We have three persons who have been nominated for the elections committee. Myself, Carol Wolfley, Aki Tanaka, and Elizabeth Milos. Are there any other nominations for the Elections Committee?
Elizabeth, can you put your hand down, please? I have a point of order question.
Yes.
Are we allowed to be on more than one committee?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Next, moving on to Programming Committee. I have four names for the Programming Committee. Fred Dodsworth, Philip Muldari, Adisa Armand, and Frank Sterling. Are there any other nominations for the Programming Committee? Okay, next. I'm going to read the nominations for the Governance Committee. Aki Tanaka, Carol Woofley, Daniel Borgstrom. Are there any other nominations for the Governance Committee? Fred, I'm relying on you to tell me.
I'm looking desperately and typing in the things at the same time. So yes, I see no other hands up.
Okay. Committee of Inclusion. Lily Kimura, Andrea Turner. Are there any other nominations for the Committee of Inclusion?
Yes, I'd like to offer Adisa Armand if she's interested, but she can decline also.
Adisa, do you accept the nomination?
I hear nothing, see nothing.
Okay, Adisa.
I'm back, Fred, just to let you know.
Thank you.
Okay,
please, bring it back.
James, would you be willing to phone Adisa and ask her to let us know if she's willing to accept the nomination?
Sure. Do you have her phone number?
I can't share public. I can't share that publicly. Does
anybody? I'm just not sure. I just have to look it on my phone. Yes, I'm pulling it up. I have it. I'll call her. If not, somebody else, I'm sure, on the list must have it.
Okay. I'm not going to ask for nominations for task forces. If you, when you vote, you may go ahead and submit any recommendations for task forces, any nominations for those. Okay.
Elizabeth Milo's hands up again.
It's a question.
Yes, Elizabeth?
Yeah, there's the committees of inclusion. I'm sorry to, but I don't understand exactly what that committee, what they are about. Can somebody just give a very brief example of what they are?
Well, I don't believe they've ever met, so it's kind of difficult. Do you want to go ahead and?
I would like to say something about this.
Go ahead.
You know, you ask constantly many, many questions, and it is very challenging for us. Because some of the questions we don't have the answers for. Those are Pacifica issues. I referred you to the Pacifica
website.
National Board Secretary. Please, please use the resources that you have. We don't know that. I have written to the Pacifica National Board Secretary requesting to know which of the committees will be active, and I received no response.
Thank you, Carol. Go ahead. Adisa? I think Adisa is here.
Yeah, I'm finally back here. Thank you. I kept on hearing you, but I couldn't see you. And I couldn't get to write to you. So
Adisa, do you accept the nomination? Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
I'm going to read the Committee of Inclusion. Nominations for Lily Kimura, Andrea Turner, and Adisa Armand.
Can I make a point of note?
Yes,
people
please.
Have been told not to use the chat, and if they violate that, and after they're told not to use the chat, they continue to use the chat, they will be removed, and I am having someone removed now.
Thank you very much, Fred. It is one of our rules, and we've stated it over and over. So the chat is for local station board members only to post motions and to discuss the meeting that's anything on the meeting that's happening right now. So could I ask Elizabeth and Adisa, please take your hands down.
And Franklin has withdrawn his request for speech. So he does not want to speak about his candidacy.
Okay, thank you.
I'd love to speak, but in the interest of time, I will.
I made a motion.
Go ahead, Carol.
Okay.
We're in the middle of voting right now. We're doing nominations. Okay.
So right now, Fred, can you give me a time for how long we have been involved in this item of the agenda?
13 minutes.
How long?
13 of 30.
Okay. So, I would like to go ahead and invite the people who have been nominated for the different committees to take 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15 to take 1 minute each to speak about why they would like to speak about their candidacy for these committees. So I would like to start with programming, since there are four people for programming, and start with Fred Dodsworth. And would you like to say anything about the programming committee and your goals?
Well, yes, I'll speak very briefly. I've spent most of my career in journalism. I think I understand the issues very, very well. I understand demographics, and I understand the need for KPFA to reach out to our greater community and represent them and bring more people into our listenership. I think I have the skill set to do it. I have spent my life doing this, and I think I would be well represented. I would represent well on the committee. Thank you.
Thank you. And Philip, did you want to speak?
Sure. I was on this committee in the previous era, and I found it very dysfunctional, and I found it a bunch of people that wanted to produce programs as opposed to a board. I see this committee, the programming committee, as not a program producing committee, but as one that facilitates the work of producers in the stations. So again, I would really like to turn around this committee from deciding that they're programmer wannabes into people who actually want to help programmers instead of replace them.
Can we, I don't know if you want to consider that name calling or not, but I am on that committee and I'm not a programmer wannabe. Thank you.
Christina.
Name calling is like calling out a certain particular person. He's giving a perception of the way the committee functioned in the past. So that would be a different area of what's going on. Thank you.
But Franklin, do you want to speak to your...
Frank, I'm very sorry if you took offense, and I apologize if you took offense. It was not intended toward you at all.
All right, I'll accept that. Yes, I would like to speak because I have been on that committee, and I've actually enjoyed it because one is our LSB has moved to bi-monthly meetings, and that we were asked to do work in committees. And I have found this board dysfunctional many times. And actually the program committee to me has actually heard my voice, has respected my voice, and have considered me an equal, which is something I don't always feel here. And I'm sorry if that hurts anybody's feelings, but we've all been on this board for many years and we know how it can get sometimes. So I was really excited to be part of a group that actually listened to me and respected my word and, you know, just as an equal, not as some controlling figure or anything. So I would like to participate on that in the future and continue on that, that board. And I would like to also, change it if it's too much of trying to decide on some programs that might be interesting to the listeners and send that out. I'd still be interested in supporting. We also have a lot of support for producers that we are working into our motions about training and I don't have my notes open on the spot, but facilitating fund drive pitching, like, which is about to happen at KPFA training, stuff like that. And